If you are able, please stand for the reading of the gospel.
This is from the gospel according to John chapter 12, beginning with verse 1.
Let us hear the word of the Lord. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with them. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. What I'm about to tell you today may be news to you, but it certainly is something you can use to witness to others. Because I want to tell you, there's a lot of people out there that need to hear this message. We serve a mighty God, the only God, Almighty God, Everlasting Father. Matthew 19:26 says that with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. There is nothing that is impossible for God. Nothing. Isaiah 43, beginning with verse 16. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. This is what the Lord says. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And then from Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 4b, the Apostle Paul is talking about his reputation, about who he is. And he says, if someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, he said, I have even more. I am circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He says, I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. He says, in regard to the law, I'm a Pharisee. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. As for righteousness based on the law, I am faultless. But whatever were gains to me, Paul says, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. Garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and to participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, But I press on, Paul says, to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 4 and 5, says that he, God, will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for the words are trustworthy and true. New. When I was studying this scripture passage from the lectionary, and I read over it, I'm thinking, what is the message here today? Now, anytime you take a pericope, a section of scriptures, and you read it and study it, there are a lot of messages. You have to pray to see which message it is that God wants you to deliver. And there was a message in there. 25 years I've been doing this, and for many more years before that, studying the Word of God. And what I focused on was the fact that God was doing a new thing, making everything new. And I asked myself, well, if God was making everything new, why is the world doing the same thing it was doing thousands of years ago? Why haven't things changed? Why is the world still falling apart, going to hell in a handbasket? Why is there still all of the crime and hatred and racism and bigotry and pride and laziness and self-centeredness? Why is nature falling apart with tornadoes and hurricanes and mudslides and forest fires and floods? Why are all these diseases and wars? Things haven't changed. They're the same today that they were thousands of years ago. Well, not entirely, right? I mean, we have all kinds of new inventions. Well, that's one thing that's changed. We've come up with a lot of new inventions. I've said it before, my personal favorite, cell phone. Love the cell phone. Love to be connected, get work done all the time on the road, and games and the internet on there, and oh my. I've got a smartwatch at home. Of course, used to be microwaves were all the rage, but well, we've come a long way since that. Fancy cameras. Well, Friday I was over my son's, right? My day off. Justin calls up and he says, it's my oldest son who's a pastor at Trafford. He says, come on over, Dad, I'll make you lunch. So I'm okay with this. Show respect for the old man, that's good. Had a little steak, some mixed vegetables, was very good. And he sat there and watched me eat, and he didn't eat himself because he's fasting for Lent. He's fasting from sunup till sundown. I was still okay with that. That's good, just more for me. So we got done with that, and he said, come on in the living room, Dad, I want to show you something. We went in there, and he's got a PS4. You know what that is? PlayStation. And he brought out this helmet that's got this huge visor on the front, put that helmet on my head, sat me on a chair, gave me some nunchucks to hold, turned it on, and I was in another world. I mean, you're walking through it, you're grabbing things. I like the bang bang shoot 'em up stuff, so I was in this other world. The details, you're sitting in a chair and you're looking around and you can see around behind you, above you. It amazing. Just amazing. But even though all these inventions have come along, even though we've gotten a lot smarter, it seems, and we've come up with all these new medicines and better ways to do surgery. People are still dying left and right. Disease is still rampant, and the racism in our country seems to be worse than ever, and wars are still going on. People are dying left and right. If God is doing everything new, why haven't things changed? And so I prayed about that, and I studied the scriptures, and it dawned on me. God is doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing in here. That Simon the Zealot says that God showed us a new kind of kingdom, the kingdom of the human heart, where God reigns supreme. God is doing a new thing. And here's the good news. God is not revamping our lives. He's not fixing our old lives. But he's giving us a new life to begin with. Born again. We must be born again. A new life. That old you is gone. At the door. When you repent of your sin, do you know what God says when you repent of your sin? When you go to God and you say, God, remember that thing that I did last week or last year? God says, no. Oh, sure you do, God. You know, when I did that thing I shouldn't have done, and God says, no. No, you repented of that. I threw that away as far as the east is from the west. Maybe it's been a while since I explained that, but that's what Scripture says. East is from the west. Why doesn't God throw our sins away as far as the north from the south? Because if you go far enough north, what happens? You go over the pole and you start heading south. But God threw our sins away, the Scripture says, as far as the east is from the west. And if you go east and continue to go east, you'll just go around the globe and you'll go east forever. It never runs into the west. And God threw our sins away and remembers them no more. He has given us a new life. He is the God of new beginnings. So when somebody in your life starts to point down your back trail and say, you should be ashamed of yourself. You used to do this. You used to be like this. You say, that was the old man. I'm a new creature in Christ. The old is gone. The new is come. For God has given us, every one of us, a new life. He's doing a new thing in our lives. Mary went out and poured that expensive perfume on Jesus' feet, something that had never been done before. She was doing a new thing. Wiped it with her hair. She didn't care what anybody thought about her, what anybody else was going to say. It was Jesus first for her. Because she was a new creature in Christ. Paul, who was revered by so many people, respected by everyone, such an authority, such a great reputation. Paul says, I don't care about any of that. I don't care about my money, my possessions. I don't care about my reputation. I don't care about my citizenship. None of that matters. He says, all that matters is Jesus. He says, so I forget everything that's past, everything that's behind me, I count it as garbage. Because God gave him a new life on the road to Damascus where he saw Jesus. And there in Isaiah, in 43, God is saying, I am doing a new thing. Don't you see it? Streams in the desert place, in the wilderness. So my brothers and sisters, God wants to do a new thing. If he's not already, he wants to do a new thing in your life. He doesn't want your old life. Just give it up. God's got something better for you. There's an illustration about a man who, his name was Lindsey Clegg. Lindsey Clegg, C-L-E-G-G was his last name, a London businessman, and he owned property. And he had this old warehouse that he was trying to sell. And so he took a prospective buyer to the warehouse, Nobody had been in that warehouse for months. And when they went into it, the windows had been broken, the doors had been ripped off, walls were damaged, and there was garbage everywhere. It had been vandalized. And Lindsey Clegg said to the prospective buyer, he said, listen, don't worry about this stuff. He said, I'll put in new windows, I'll hang new doors, I'll bring in a team of engineers, and we will make sure it's structurally sound, and I'll sweep out all this garbage. And the prospective buyer said, I'm not buying it to turn it into what it once was. He says, I don't want you to repair it. He says, because I'm going to do something new here with this. I just want the site. He just wanted the site. And that's the way it is with God. God doesn't want our old warehouses. God just wants permission to do a new thing. By the power of His Holy Spirit. Perhaps you're already walking in the Word and you don't need this. But I'll guarantee you that all of us know somebody whose life is a mess, who's being held down because people say that you're rotten, no good. Look what you did. You're a sinner. You need to introduce them to Jesus, who will give them a new life. God doesn't want the old. He doesn't want to fix up something that's been broken. We serve a mighty God. So God wants to give you a new thing. God loves you, and so do I.